Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your gear and hit the road as we try and catch up with the one family wandering the world while the rest of us are all locked down in search of their forever home. So let's see if we can find them. Caitlin and Michael Domner, are you there, guys?
We are.
Well, I hear it's been an adventure getting even on the air this morning here. I'm getting frantic messages that there's taxis and you're stuck at here and you're delayed there. What the heck is going on this morning?
Well, we decided, so we were in, I think we were still in Ushuaia last week. We decided to make a quick pit stop into Calafate before coming back to Buenos Aires and then on to Bahia Blanca for some beach time.
Right.
And it just felt like everything went wrong this week. It was ridiculous. So today, we knew that we were going to be running late, but we got out of the airport and instead of having our shuttle like we usually do, we were like, oh, we'll just take taxis. But in Argentina, at the airport, you can't just take a taxi. Well, first, we had to get onto a shuttle that took us from the airplane to the airport. Then we had to wait for our luggage. Then we finally got out.
It was another experience of the kids like, what do you mean we have to climb downstairs after the airplane parks? This is crazy.
Yeah, right. What is this? What? But don't they come and carry me off here? I mean, I have to actually walk like the old days? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So then you have to stand in line to get a taxi because the government runs the taxi union. You can't just order an Uber and get picked up. No, that would be entirely too simple.
No.
So you have to wait in line, scan a QR code to put in your information. It'll tell you how much you need to pay the taxi driver.
Right.
But unfortunately, mine was not allowing the CAPTCHA to work. It did not recognize me as a human. I still thought I was a robot, so I couldn't confirm mine. So Michael's like showing him our address, and
No, really, we're real people here. Look at, we can do this.
I'm a person. Put me on the taxi.
Can I just pay you cash and you take me where I want to go?
No.
And then we're finally next in line, and the taxi drivers are literally getting out of their cars and screaming at each other.
They were about to come to blows. I don't know if they thought one of the other taxi drivers cut in line or what, but the taxi drivers are sitting there yelling at each other for like 5 minutes.
So finally, our two taxis, because it takes us, our five-person family, with our 14 things of luggage, two taxis to get anywhere.
Right.
So we take separate cars. And then we arrive.
You take separate cars? I would never split up the family in separate cars here just because you got so much stuff and so many people and the cars are so small.
Yeah, the cars are tiny and we are voluminous. So
it's a four-person magnet. We'd probably try to force it all into one, but because they want you to pay for another taxi, they're like, no, they're hard and fast on their four-person maximum per taxi. So sometimes we just like pile the kids, like sit on each other's laps. We don't care.
Yeah.
But not at the airport in Buenos Aires. They don't let us do that.
Mm-hmm.
Finish the story. So you finally get in the taxi. Yeah.
So we're communicating with our VA who speaks Spanish. He's from Venezuela and he is communicating with our Airbnb host who's Argentinian and is here. And so we arrive and I see Michael is like inside the glass doors and I'm like, why don't you come help me? He's like, I am locked in the lobby.
You have to have a key to get in or out of the lobby. And when the boys and I walked up carrying, half of the seven pieces of luggage, somebody was nice enough who was leaving the apartment building like, oh, here, I'll just let you in. So the boys and I pulled our bags in, let the door close. And then I see Caitlin pull up and I'm like, oh, I'll go help her get the bags. Nope, we're officially locked in the lobby. And I'm standing there like waving at her. She's like I can tell she was frustrated. Like, just come help me.
Caitlin, I think that's just an excuse. I think he could get out all along. I think that was just their sorry.
In the air conditioning, actually.
I was like, well, why don't you call? Like, I'm shouting to the glass, like, why don't you call the Airbnb host? He's like, I can't. There's no Wi-Fi in the lobby.
In the lobby, I don't have any cell signal because it's all a concrete building. So once I get locked in behind that door, I literally can't even call our host to tell him that I'm here.
Yeah, I'm locked. I'm stuck. How bizarre is that?
So somebody else lets us in. We put all the luggage in and the people in, and Michael and I decide to come out so we can call. And then I send a picture to my VA. I'm like, the children are officially locked in the lobby. He's like, now's your chance. Run for it.
Yeah. There's what you've been waiting for. They're safe. They're secure. Now just leave them there for a couple. No, that'd be horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah, we finally got into the apartment and it looks lovely. And Herman, our Airbnb host, is very lovely. So we are officially here, but it was a rigmarole to get here. I just remember how much I hate travel days.
How much I hate travel days. You have nailed it right there. We haven't talked about this much. We've talked about the wonder of waterfalls. We've talked about the awe of Antarctica. We've talked about the excitement of the Galapagos. We haven't talked much about the drudgery of doing these moves from one point to the other here. Is it still as bad as I remember? That's one of the reasons I really don't travel much anymore, because it's horrible.
Oh my goodness. It's probably worse with COVID. Yeah. I don't know how much you've traveled during COVID, but it's COVID tests and longer lines because now they have to check your paperwork even more. Right.
We couldn't get onto our airplane.
Oh my goodness.
Because as the airplane was exiting, they were taking temperatures and spraying hands on the jetway. So they weren't even able to let people out of the building.
So it ended up the plane was like 20 minutes late because of all the anti-COVID measures that they're taking. And this doesn't even touch when we were in Ushuaia. So we booked our flight to Ushuaia to Calafate, which is, it's like 1,000 kilometers north, about 700 or 800 miles north of there. So we could have taken a 24-hour or 18-hour, 16-hour overnight bus or fly. So we decided to fly to keep it simple.
Right. Yeah.
So we bought the tickets. Everything was fine. No red flags. We're flying inside of Argentina, so no big deal. We don't have to do COVID tests because we've done this multiple times. We get to the airport 2 hours before our flight, and the guy looks at us and says, "Oh no, if the kids don't have vaccinations, they have to have a negative COVID test because it's a different state. And this is, there's two states in Argentina, apparently, out of the 32 states that require vaccinations or COVID tests before you fly in to any location.
Imagine if you wanted to fly to Arizona or you wanted to fly to Vegas.
Right, and you had to get a negative COVID test. Oh, my goodness.
So I was like, well, can we just like go to the next flight and we can go? And they're like, nope, the next flight isn't until tomorrow. He's like, but there's a clinic 10 minutes away. If you hurry, you'll probably make it.
2 hours before the flight is supposed to leave. So we literally, I throw the kids in the car. We drive over to the clinic, sit in line at the clinic, wait for them to help us out. They're like, okay, you should get the results in 1 hour. And we had finished the test at 4:20. The flight was supposed to leave by 5:20. And I was like, can we do it any faster? Like 1 hour is not going to cut it. So they were like, okay, we'll do it as fast as we can and we'll get it over to you. So then the kids and I go back to the airport and
there was a whole French family that was also stuck in this mess.
The same thing. They got to the airport not realizing they needed a test. Right. And then literally when they get there, they tell them, oh, no, you got to go get a test for your youngest daughter because she's not vaccinated, or oldest daughter because she's not vaccinated. So there was this French family like our shadow going back over to the clinic and then going back to the airport. And they kind of followed us around as we were racing, trying to make it happen. So then we're sitting in the lobby of the airport. They won't let us check the bags. They won't let us do anything until we get those negative results. And the flight was supposed to leave at 5:20. We're hitting refresh on my email, trying to see when it's going to come through.
WhatsApping the clinic, like, can you please send us
expedite this? So finally, literally at 5:20, almost like
5:15 exactly. Okay, the email comes through. Because then
she's charting this down because someday she's going to complain to somebody here at 5:15, at 5:17.
It's the miracle because I remember looking at my clock. It was 5:15. We hadn't checked our bags. We hadn't gone through security, and the flight was leaving in 5 minutes.
In
Los Angeles airport, was never going to make it work.
Right.
So they rush us to the...
They literally tell us as we're checking the bags, they're holding the flight for you. We're holding the whole flight for nine people, our five and the four in the French family.
Wow.
So they checked all of our bags. They waived the overage charges. They just like, let's get these people on. We're the only ones in the security line.
We're literally like running through the airport.
We're racing up the stairs. We don't have time for an escalator. So we get through the security, this little old guy is like peering at the x-ray machine and somebody like, he waves his superior over and she's like, it's fine.
Just go.
Just go. Wow. Well, that's not Los Angeles International. I remember years ago when they started all the security stuff, I showed up. For me, I thought that was early. I showed up 45 minutes before the flight. As a previous business traveler, I was used to, you know, rushing on the plane 10 minutes before it took off. And I showed up, and I went to check in the bag. She said, "We're not even going to take your bag." I said, "It's 45 minutes." She said, "Too late. We're loaded. We're getting ready. We're not even going to rush it. We're not even going to try. You're done." I got all upset. And they're like, "Sorry, next." The rules are the rules. I just think, let's talk about, because we're doing this in real time, right after the holiday rush here in the States, which was record chaos, record craziness.
They canceled like thousands of flights
for two reasons. One, always there's weather delays and cancellations this time of year. And they had some of that snow and whatnot. Airports get shut down. But the big problem was COVID, and not in the, what you would think, the normal problem of passengers with COVID. It was crews, pilots, mainly, and stewardesses and mechanics and all those people. They couldn't fly the planes. They were short of people. People didn't show up. They were sick. As this surge, holiday surge hit, people suddenly were sick, and they didn't have the people necessary to move the stuff around. So imagine you're in some... I can't imagine a worse scenario. You fly home somewhere and it's long lines and it's crazy and it's delays. And then they tell you your flight is canceled. One of our other show hosts, his daughter flew somewhere up in the Northwest and she didn't get back for like 24 hours later than she's supposed to, because you wait in line, it's delayed. And then you got to stand for 2 hours in line with 2 million other people trying to get the next plane out. And then they can't find your bag and blah, 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 and everything here. And then on top of that, we had some huge holiday delays in Washington, D.C. Record storm, dropped snow, and froze people on the freeways for 24 hours. 24 hours sitting in your car out on the freeway, freezing to death. Yeah, because they just can't move or won't move. Everything here. So I just say, you know, this time of year, stay home. I thought you guys were so, this shocked me, because last time we talked, the frenzied pace was going to slow down. You've seen Antarctica. Now we got a little time to kill. Let's just relax. Let's just sit here for a while, wander around. Let's see what it's like to really live somewhere for a while. But sure enough, in typical American fashion, well, let's get a few more in. Let's get this in. Let's do this in. And suddenly here
we're
going
to do 2 weeks on the beach starting Friday. So that will be our official slowing down.
All right. I welcome that pace, because that was one of the things we were trying to see. Will you ever get off the hamster wheel, as Caitlin described once, that urge we all have? Well, I've come this far. Let's see what's over there. I can't just sit here. I got to see something today. I got to look over there. I may not be back here for a long time or ever again.
We've been Calafate and El Chalten in back-to-back days, and it was
intense.
It was intense, like totally worth it, because I'm in love with glaciers, and man, there are some gorgeous mountains in El Calafate. But it was kind of a whirlwind of stuffing everything in bags, trying to make sure they're all the same weight, the right weight.
Balance them out. Your giant caravan.
We just got to Buenos Aires, so we're here for 2 days, and then we fly to Bahia Blanca. I feel like this last week has just kind of been a crazy one.
Yeah.
So maybe this is kind of like when you went out to the Galapagos, and the universe was trying to say, slow down, as you all got sick racing, and you were forced to just sit still and kind of recuperate. Maybe this will be that same. Maybe this time it's the airlines and the travel industry saying, you can't move that quick anymore. Not this time of year, not around the holidays. Everything takes a lot slower and a lot more planning here.
And it is like their high season. It's not just their like holidays and New Year's. It's also their summer vacation.
Yes, exactly.
So when we did arrive in Calafate, we were like, oh, we'll just get a rental car at the airport. But no.
Everybody was like, no, we're booked until February for rental cars. We have literally zero cars available in the town of Calafate. It's crazy.
It reminds me the one time on a lark we went to, well, not a lark we planned to, but we went up to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota and all this, the Black Hills. And yeah. I never bothered to check what time of year it was. And when we arrived, I had, fortunately, I had a reservation, but I didn't have a reservation for a car and some other things. I was just going to get them when we got there. It was during the giant Sturgis motorcycle bike rally. Everything was booked for an hour around. We drove like we got there. We had to drive an hour away just to get someplace to stay. And everybody's looking at me with this evil eye. And I'm like, I didn't know. I should have looked. I just assumed, hey, it's who knows? So you never know what you're going to run into when you get out there. What do you say to people traveling with kids? That's, I think, even worse because kids can sometimes be very patient or kids can just say, I'm done.
I think for us, one thing that I've realized is it really is just teaching them to roll with the punches. Like no matter what happens, we're together. We're a family. We've got enough money for food. We're not going to starve. Right. Like even if it feels stressed out and we're not where we want to be, or it's taking too long, or we're waiting in line, or whatever the problem is. Try to roll with the punches, and it doesn't always work.
I was just going to say, we also have a very much more practical secret, which is travel days are screen days. So they usually don't get to play on screens the day or two before we have to travel.
There you go.
And then on the day of travel, they have fully charged tablets that they can pretty much zone out while we're going from here to there and everywhere.
That saves a lot of travel. That's the mommy blogger tip of the day here. The mommy traveler tip of the day here. Don't, you know, deny, give them the tablets only when they're traveling, and they will, you know, binge on them and therefore not impinge on you. Well, who's easier? Little ones are, I always thought when I traveled, you know, years ago with our daughter, I thought that little would be tough. Because they have such short attention spans, and they would want to, at some point they'd start crying or they'd get upset or whatever. And then we're really in trouble here. How do you stop that in the middle of an airport here? Would they start to melt down or throw a tantrum or something? I found it to be the opposite. I found it that the older our daughter got, it was tougher because when they're little, they're sort of compliant. Go here, sit there, do this. And it's all an adventure anyway. They're like, oh, look at all this stuff. But later, I'm so bored. I'm so tired. How are we going to get there?
100%. I dread the day that we travel with teenagers. I think the younger they are, like you said, our kids are probably not very compliant by most people's standards. But they're more compliant now than they will be as teenagers. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, that's when she got awful. And then everything was, everything was boring. Everything was, come on, rolling her eyes. And, you know, just, I don't want to be here. Yeah. But looking over there, yeah, big deal. Who cares? You know, right. Everything was, it was difficult. So I warn you of that one coming here. I think that's when we stopped taking family trips together, really, when she turned like to be a teenager, because it just became a pain in the butt. She wasn't interested and we weren't willing to put up with these, you know, these long sighs and these rolling eyes and dragging her to see all this stuff. Oh my God, we're punishing you. We're taking you to New York. How awful. Yeah.
Such a rough life, our kid. Yeah. I say that pretty regularly. I mean, it's such a rough life.
Such a rough life here or something. Well, do you do anything else? What do you do if it really does all melt down? I mean, you've had a couple of crazy things happen along the way, not the least of which is getting held up by, shall we say, a bandit, somebody who suddenly demanded money to drive on a road. And it could, having your wallet lifted in the middle of a crowd or your phone lifted in the middle of a crowd. I mean, there are other things that can happen. I'm just trying to warn you. You're going to be on the road for a while. You might see some other even crazier things that happen here. You're in the middle of a riot. You're in the middle of a revolution. You're in the middle of something here. A hurricane or something happens. An earthquake. I mean, there are. God forbid, you know, there. Most of us aren't on the road that long to get caught up in those things. But when something like that really happens, it can be difficult. And it was hard enough. I remember once being in an airport in a snowstorm, trying to go back to Virginia to go to school. I was going to law school at the time, and trying to get from what was supposed to be just a 2-hour flight from Detroit down to Virginia turned into one of these 24-hour snow emergencies where everything got shut down and we got diverted and we're 12 hours away from where we're supposed to be and all this stuff. And I was just by myself. And of course, I broke my glasses in the middle of the thing and now I can't see. Somebody bumped into me. And, you know, one thing just turned into another disaster like that. But I wasn't with a bunch of kids. trying to hold the whole family together, you know, pioneers going across the plains here, you know, trying to survive.
I think probably the biggest thing is realizing that our kids feed off of our energy 100%.
Wow.
So if we are freaking out and getting crazy and like, oh my gosh, what's happening? That's totally the energy of the kids. Right. And I'm not great at it, but I try to stay as calm as possible no matter what's happening.
Oh, he's lying. He's fantastic at keeping an even keel. I'm the one who goes off the rail.
when my phone got stolen, the kids were like, oh my gosh, like, do we need to call the cops? Do we need to chase after him? Like, what do we need to do? I'm just like, you know what? Like, hey, and inside I was thinking the same thing. On the outside, I was like, it's fine. They probably needed the phone more than we do. Yeah, you know, just
no big deal.
Saying all that stuff. But it really is the kids like reflect our energy back 95% of the time. So realizing that if we maintain calm and we keep ourselves under control and we genuinely try to live in a space of everything's working out for us. Everything happens for a reason. Everything's a learning situation. You know, really just trying to stay centered and balanced. And I think that plays through with the kids a lot of the time. So yeah, there are times that it hits the fan and right. You know, things are a little bit crazy, but reining it in, bringing it back and keeping ourselves grounded is the key to keeping the kids centered.
And I would actually say that's one of the advantages of traveling with kids, because when it forces us to manage that internal external game,
you got an audience, you got somebody else that's watching, right. You're hearing, right, you can't,
right? So like when we're hiking with the kids, I have to stay positive, you can do it, come on guys, we're almost there. When Michael and I go for hikes by himself, I'm like, honey, I'm so tired.
It hurts. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't go.
It doesn't matter if I'm with the kids or with Caitlin. I always have to maintain the positive.
Yes.
We're going to survive, honey.
We're going to make it. Well, I always thought that was one of the biggest lessons I learned of traveling. I traveled more when I was younger, either for business or with our daughter, and less as I got older. I don't know why, it's just you get crankier as you get older, you get less willing to put up with this ordeal to run this race. But I think you have to put yourself in a different frame of mind. You have to say, yeah, I am not in control today. And that's really hard for me to do. Somebody else is in charge flying the plane. Somebody else is in charge of the schedule. Somebody else is at the door. Are closing the door or holding the door for us or whatever. I have to rely on the kindness of strangers, as the famous line goes.
Yeah, it's hard to give up that level of control. Yeah,
and you just have to accept that whatever it is, it is. So now you're just sort of in survival mode. I can't, like climbing Mount Everest, I can't change the weather. I can just somehow survive and get through this.
Yeah,
I can't wave my fist and say stop it. You know. I will not.
I see some travelers and some tourists that are, you know, like sometimes they get obnoxious, whether it's at the airport with the airport, you know, the airline workers and stuff. And I like it reminds me that that being grateful for having the kids there and just really like Caitlin said, it forces us to maintain that level of control of ourselves. And I'm grateful for that when I really think about it.
So here's another example of taking a pile of lemons and making something sweet out of it here instead of finding, you know, a positive in the midst of what seems like chaos and negative. I will never do this again. And I think I'm kind of one of those. The more I've gone through those, I think traveling has gotten harder. Certainly the security lines are longer and now COVID, I can't even imagine even more things on top of more things here. So you got to get to the airport like, what, 2 hours before the plane, maybe even more.
At least, yeah.
Get through all this stuff. So what should only be a 2-hour flight turns into an all-day ordeal because you got to get there and then you got to wait and you got to go through the lines and things are screwed up. And
we write off travel days. We just Monday, we fly from A to B, like all of Monday is, we just know it's a travel day. We kind of write it off. And for that reason, it's, whether sometimes we've tried all different things. We've tried like, all right, we're going to wake up super early, go so that way we're there by the afternoon, or we're going to do a red eye. We're all going to, you know, we'll all just sleep on the plane, which isn't as great as it sounds ever. No,
I hate that. I gave up on that idea years ago because I never sleep and then I'm just really tired. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I feel like we've tried to do it a lot of different ways, but it really does just come down to travel days we just burn the day and say, you know what, anything that does come out of it is a bonus. And we realized that red eye travel just means that 2 days are basically gone instead of one. So, I think we've pretty much written off that idea as well, but it's just, travel days are rough and realizing that and approaching it with that mentality, I think is important too.
How do you bounce back after a travel day? I found that the older I got, the longer it took me so I'd fly to New York and it would be an awful flight and it would be delayed. And 14 people aggravated me because they were noise in the cabin and crying and they fought me at the thing and my reservation was wrong and everything just kept raising my blood pressure throughout the trip. When I was younger, the next day I'm okay. As I got older, it took me a day or two. I'm still fuming about that, whatever happened the day before, and I'm going to tell somebody. And how do you let go of this and just turn the page?
I think actually today might be a successful one. Namely, we started early. We got to the airport. There was the chaos, but now we're checked in and it's still only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll probably have time to go for a walk, check out the neighborhood, because that's always important to know your surroundings of what's going on.
Yeah, where things are. Where's the hospital? Where's the drugstore? Where's the movie store? I don't know, whatever you're looking for here. Yeah.
Right. And if we're going to be staying in a place for longer than 2 or 3 days, we'll usually go to the grocery store and buy the basics, breakfast foods, lunch foods, and then we'll usually go out for dinners. But having spaghetti on hand is always a great choice.
Spaghetti. Okay. That's the go-to solution.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Our kids will eat pasta 24/7 if we let them. So, so pasta is, again, it's the treat that we use when Michael and I want a date night. They get pasta and hot dogs is usually the combination that they get. And they love it. And we hate it. So it's perfect.
So there are values. There is a good, all this American junk habits and junk food, watching the screen all day, watching TV, playing on your computer all day, eating hot dogs and junk food. There is a purpose to this because you use that as a bribe now.
Yes, we use the American way of life as a bribery tactic.
Once in a while. Yeah, exactly.
I just realized when we were hiking, we did like a 3-hour hike to Mirador Lago in El Chalten. And we realized, like, we're like, okay, guys, if nobody complains, you each get a piece of candy at the end of the hike.
You each get something bad if you do something good today here. Yeah, right. We're going to give you a bag of Fritos if you stop complaining.
Yeah, I'm realizing there's definitely a pattern in our parenting. We're not above bribery.
Bribery is effective.
Well, you made it. You're there. You're going to relax. You're going one more jump from Buenos Aires to this beach, and then you're gonna beach out. You're going to zone out for a while here. That'll be interesting to see what that, again, this change of pace, rush, 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 relax. Do you ever just get to a place, I thought that's where you're going to be these next couple weeks, where you don't go anywhere, where you just sort of live a normal life wherever the roulette wheel stopped? It's just another town, and this is just a regular day. I'm going to read the paper. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to go to the grocery store or whatever. Yeah.
I feel like we kind of got to that in keto because we were in keto for literally almost a month. Yeah, like 4 weeks solid. So I feel like it's just a matter of time, right? So once we're in a place for over a week, I feel like we start to get into that. Okay, we don't have to see stuff. We just need to. We can just relax. Right. So I really do, and we're in our next place. I think we're a block away from the beach. So just being able to with friends. So we met the families from Ushuaia who are going to Bahia Blanca for I think like 2 months or something like that for their summer break. They just go out there and stay and go to the beach. So we're going to meet them. So the kids will have somebody to play with. I feel like these next couple weeks will be a mixture of kind of just a normal beach vacation getting some schoolwork and some work done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be curious to see. You've made it through the you run the gauntlet, as they say, you know, where everybody's, wasn't that in the Native American tribes? They'd run down as two lanes of warriors trying to hit you with sticks and stuff. And if you made it to the end, you survived. You made it through an airport. Everybody's trying to hit you with sticks and hit you with regulations and hit you with things. And you finally survived and popped out of the gauntlet here. So now you're stronger. Do you ever feel stronger because of this? Does any of this feel like we have conquered? We have made it to the top. We have run the endurance test. Yeah.
Especially when I think in context of our family, like our family is so much more resilient and we bounce back quickly from things. We're able to find a way to make it through, like even if it's a difficult situation. I really do feel like it's palpable, the change, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to leave it right there. Normally we let Caitlin do the philosophical outtake, but I think you just nailed it right there, because that's one of the things you're hoping for, is not just the experience of seeing all this, so you look back the rest of your life and say, remember when we saw that? But to see what this does, how does this make you change as a family here? That's part of this podcast, mm-hmm. Yeah. Chronicling this and seeing, kind of stopping along and say, oh yeah, maybe we are changing. Maybe we got a little different outlook on this. Because in searching for your forever home, you might find that some truths about yourselves too here along the way. I think you already have.
Absolutely.
I think you have. All right. Well, go rest, relax. You got what? One more jump to make, and then you're on the beach.
Yep.
So we should be at Bahia Blanca next call.
Oh well, then this is going to be relaxed. You're going to be sipping, I don't know, whatever the drink is. It's not a pina colada, but whatever the fruity cocktail, beach drink. we'll have to, and everything will be forgotten. Oh, look how wonderful it is. That's the other thing I always notice, is that when you finally do get someplace, you forget what it took to get there. You know, look at this. Wow. And you're like, well, yeah, but I still remember how they wouldn't let us do this. And then they lost our luggage and all this. Mm-hmm. But look at it's beautiful. So at the end, it's all worth it here. Well, I'm glad we finally had a real show here where it's not just all fun and games along the way here. There's some struggle. There's some struggle along the way to find your forever home here. It's not easy. Thanks for sharing today. And we'll see you next week on the beach. As we continue to track the All Over the Map family as they wander all over the world in search of that forever home. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live, University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.